From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Listener, here's the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urges regional leaders to boost investment outside Java. Indonesian government builds Center of Disaster Excellence, and here's the news in detail. President Joko Widodo urged regional leaders to encourage investment outside Java Island, since investment distribution only reached 52% in areas outside Java. One Java Island can have 48% of the investment, and the other 16,999 islands only get 52%. The number should be bigger. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo at the opening of 2023 National Investment Coordination Meeting in Jakarta on Thursday. Hence, he called on governors, mayors, district heads, and heads of one-stop integrated services to increase investment outside Java. His side will also extend help for the infrastructure for areas outside Java. President Joko Widodo also remarked that investment is crucial to boost economic growth. Apart from creating more job opportunities, investment is also capable of providing large state revenues through the corporate income tax, employee income tax, export tariff, and non-tax state revenue. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency of the Republic of Indonesia has a strategy for implementing a multi-party agreement containing 7 points of the Bali Agenda for Sustainable Resilience in 2022. The fourth point of the Bali Agenda focuses on increasing investment in youths and young professionals to stimulate innovation and creative solutions in reducing disaster risk. This was stated by Deputy for Systems and Strategy of the agency, Raditya Jati, to Voice of Indonesia after becoming a speaker at the International Workshop and Training held by International Organization UNESCO, National Research and Innovation Agency or BRIN, and the EU Inspire Alliance in Jakarta on Wednesday. The event was attended by 110 youths and young professionals from Asia-Pacific countries and other regions. According to Raditya, the Indonesian government is building a center of excellence for disaster mitigation in hope that the international community can learn from Indonesia's experience in dealing with various types of disasters to create sustainable resilience.
Masyarakat global bisa belajar ke Indonesia. Kita punya semua laboratorium.
The global community can study in Indonesia. Indonesia has it all. The laboratory is in Indonesia, and Indonesia has the knowledge. It has the experiences. So one of the BNPB's commitments in Indonesia is how to truly build knowledge management, both in Indonesia and for the global community, so we can have progress in the field of knowledge. Of course, science and technology are also important in BNPB's innovation, and Indonesia is committed to how disaster mitigation can really be completed and handled well. Moreover, according to Raditya Jati, the government has issued a long-term policy in the form of a master plan for disaster management per 25 years towards a Golden Indonesia 2045. He has also said that the government issued a derivative of this policy through the National Plan for Disaster Management, or RENAS PB, per 5 years, which is implemented starting from the level provincial to district or city governments throughout Indonesia. Still related to the workshop, on the third day of the International Workshop and Training held by UNESCO, the National Research and Innovation Agency, and the U-Inspire Alliance, at the Brain Convention Hall in Central Jakarta on Wednesday, foreign participants have admitted that they are amazed by the policies and preparedness of Indonesian people in disaster mitigation. According to RRI Voice of Indonesia report, out of 110 youth and young professionals, 28 who come from Asia-Pacific countries and other regions enthusiastically took part in the Q&A session in the panel presentation, presenting speakers from the National Development Planning Agency, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, National Research and Innovation Agency, and the Indonesian Ministry of Defense. Ibrahim Anouf, a participant from Maldives, admitted that he was satisfied with the material from a number of disaster stakeholders in Indonesia. According to Ibrahim Anouf, the method used by Indonesia should become an example of a success story and be adopted by the Maldives in an effort to disaster risk reduction in Maldives.
I think the DRR practices currently set up in Indonesia is really good, and for me and my team, we are learning a lot, and we are taking notes and meeting the people who work in DRR in Indonesia to find ways to adapt their method in the Maldives. So yeah, I think the methods in Indonesia are very good for disaster risk reduction.
Furthermore, as a global young generation, Ibrahim Anouf recommends all countries to work together to find solutions by prioritizing dialogue and discussions of very similar issues in a bid to realize a sustainable climate resilience which benefits everyone around the world. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati and the Coalition of Finance Ministers for Climate Action, or CFMCA, discussed the mobilization of funds to finance climate actions during the 28th session of the Conference of the Parties, or COP28. During a meeting held as part of the COP28 high-level event in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates on Monday, CFMCA agreed that the participation of the private sector in financing climate agendas is vital. According to Minister Sri Mulyani, plenty of countries are relying on their state budgets to realize energy transition due to fiscal incapability. The budgets will not be sufficient to the fund transition. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan travels to Athens on Thursday in a keenly watched visit, billed as an attempted new chapter between NATO allies and historic rivals after years of tension. As reported by arabnews.com, in meetings with Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and President Katerina Sakellaropoulou, the fiery Turkish leader is expected to discuss trade, regional issues, and the perennially thorny issue of migration. In an interview with the Greek daily Katimerini, a day before his 5-hour visit on Thursday, Erdogan said he was seeking a new chapter in relations on the basis of win-win principles. Brazil has said it is deploying troops along its borders with Venezuela after Venezuelans announced plans to incorporate an oil-rich area of Guyana into their territory. As quoted by BBC.com, Essequibo region has been in dispute since the 19th century when Guyana was once a British colony. Venezuela renewed its land claims after offshore oil and gas reserves were discovered a few years ago. Tensions have been rising since a referendum on Sunday in Venezuela. More than 95% of voters are said to have supported the government's claim to Essequibo. Venezuela's leader Nicolas Maduro has since asked the state oil company to issue extraction licenses and proposed that the National Assembly pass a bill to make the area part of Venezuela. Belarusian Prime Minister Roman Golovchenko arrived in Hanoi on Wednesday, starting a 4-day official visit to Vietnam. As reported by VOVworld.vn, during his stay, PM Golovchenko and Vietnamese leaders will review bilateral cooperations and discuss steps to bolster ties between the two countries. Since the establishment of diplomatic ties in 1992, Vietnam and Belarus have been maintaining and developing their traditional friendship and multifaceted cooperation with an increasingly high level of trust. The two sides are collaborating in numerous areas, ranging from national defense to economy, trade, culture, education, sci-tech, people-to-people, and locality-to-locality exchanges. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Education and Cultural Attaché at the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Tokyo, Yusli Wardiatno, said that the speech competition was an event that could promote Indonesian language on the international stage. He said in Tokyo on Monday that the Indonesian speech competition, which was attended by 36 Japanese citizens at the Kanda University of International Studies quiz, could strengthen relations between the two countries and become an intermediary in improving the Indonesian language. He further expressed his appreciation to Kanda University of International Studies, which consistently not only holds Indonesian speech competition, but also promotes Indonesian culture in the form of typical Indonesian gamelan and drama performances. Meanwhile, rector of the quiz, Takahisa Miyauchi, hopes that holding competition this year will not only enhance students' motivation and enthusiasm for learning Indonesian, but also strengthen their understanding of worldview, art, society, and even politics in Indonesia. The participants in the speech competition consisted of students from various levels and 8 universities in Japan, as well as the general public who love Indonesian. Most of the speech topics highlighted the hospitality and kindness of Indonesian people, which become the main attraction or charm of Indonesia. This year's speech competition has 4 categories of participants, which are based on the length of time that participants have studied Indonesian and their experience in visiting Indonesian territory. The participants who won overall champion and received the main prize in the form of a round-trip ticket from Tokyo to Jakarta by Garuda Indonesia plane is Watanabe Mayu. In her speech, Mayu admired the open attitude of Indonesians towards citizens from other countries. Her experience of visiting Indonesia during the Eid al-Fitri holiday made her realize how tolerant Indonesia is towards diversity. She admitted that she was helped a lot by the hospitality and the kindness of the Indonesian people she met. Mayu also does not hesitate to compare the visiting cultures of Indonesians and Japanese. Acting as judges in the speech competition were the principal of the Republic of Indonesia School, Ari Driyaningsih, Japanese-Indonesian language for foreign speakers BIPA teacher Matsui Kazuhisa, and SRIT Indonesian language teacher Asep Wijaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on 7th December 1941 when the Pearl Harbor bombing occurred. The bombing of Pearl Harbor was a surprise attack by the Imperial Japanese Navy against the United States and Navy's Pacific Fleet anchor at Pearl Harbor Naval Base, Hawaii. This attack triggered direct U.S. involvement in World War II. The attack began around 7:38 a.m. Hawaii time. The United States naval base at Pearl Harbor was attacked by at least 353 fighters, bombers, and torpedo launchers from the Japanese Navy in two waves of attacks. 8 U.S. battleships suffered severe damage. 4 of them were sunk. The attack also damaged 188 U.S. aircraft, resulting in 2,403 deaths and 1,178 injuries. Let's turn to another event on 7th December 1955 when the Galileo spacecraft arrived at Jupiter. Galileo was a crewless spacecraft sent by NASA to investigate Jupiter and its moons. Named after the Italian astronomer and Renaissance pioneer Galileo, it was launched on October 18, 1989 by Space Shuttle Atlantis on missions STS-34. Galileo arrived at Jupiter on 7th December 1995, 6 years after its launch, with the assistance of Venus and Earth gravitational pads. On September 21, 2003, Galileo's mission was terminated. We end today in history with the commemoration of International Civil Aviation Day. December 7, 1966 was designated by the United Nations as International Civil Aviation Day. This International Civil Aviation Day aims to help awaken and strengthen worldwide awareness of the importance of international civil aviation for countries' social and economic development. The origins of International Civil Aviation Day may be traced back to 1944, when the United States invited representatives from 54 nations to a conference in Chicago. During this conference, the participants signed the Convention on International Civil Aviation commonly known as the Chicago Convention, an international treaty that permits the development of the world's civil aviation system. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the World, on 3325 kHz and venues.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on trade value in carbon exchange reached 30.7 billion rupiah per November 2023. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, convey the trade value in Indonesian carbon exchange reached 30.7 billion rupiah with trade volume of 490,716 ton carbon dioxide equivalent CO2e on September 26 until November 30, 2023. OJK's Chief Executive for Supervision of Capital Markets, Financial Derivatives and Carbon Exchange, Inarno Jajadi, included 30.56% in regular market or 9.38 billion rupiah, 9.24% in negotiated trading market or 2.84 billion rupiah, and 60.2% in auction market or 18.48 billion rupiah. In the virtual press conference of November 2023, monthly Board of Commissioners on Monday, Inarto Jajadi said that the carbon exchange in Indonesia still has a big potential, considering 71.95% of the offered carbon are yet to be sold. Until November 2023, according to Inarto, there was an increase in service users at carbon exchange, rising up to 41 from 25 carbon services users in October 2023. Besides, there were 2 carbon unit sales and 23 carbon unit buyers. The Indonesian Carbon Exchange, or IDX Carbon, provided a transparent, orderly, reasonable and efficient trade system according to the Financial Services Authority Regulation No. 14, year 2023, on carbon trade via carbon exchange. Moreover, price transparency, the IDX President Director Iman Rahman pointed out that the IDX carbon trade also provides an easy and simple transaction mechanism that currently has 4 mechanisms, namely auction, regular trading, negotiated trading, and marketplace. IDX carbon is connected to the National Registry System for Climate Change Control of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, which makes the administration of carbon units movement easier and avoids double counting. Companies that have the obligation and or commitment to voluntarily reduce greenhouse gas emission can be a user of IDX carbon service and purchase the available carbon units. Project owners who have already possessed a unit carbon recorded in the SRN PPI can sell their carbon unit via. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Semakin menyerang, kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap harapanku ingin terbang jauh.
Hutan pun gelisah, daun-daun jatuh berguguran. Namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwa. Andaikan ku dapat mengungkapkan perasaanku hingga membuat kau percaya, akan ku berikan seutuhnya rasa cintaku selamanya, selamanya.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
When traveling to West Sumatra, we recommend visiting the Mandeh tourist area. The Mandeh area is nicknamed the paradise in the south. The natural charm is so beautiful. You will be spoiled with views of the beach and a group of islands. You can tour the island, dive, snorkel, and take a culinary tour. If you visit Mandeh, one of the most popular and most visited places is Paku Mandeh Beach. Paku Mandeh Beach offers clear water and clean stretches of sand, plus stunning sunset views. Paku Mandeh Beach is located in the Mandeh area precisely in Nagari or the village of Sungai Nyalo Mudiak Aya in the district of Koto, Tarusan. From Padang, the capital of West Sumatra, it only takes about 1 hour by car, with a distance of 47 kilometers. Pakumandeh Beach is easy to reach because of its roadside location. The ticket price for Pakumandeh Beach is quite affordable, 5,000 rupiah or about 30 cents per person during holiday. On weekdays, it is free of charge. When you arrive there, you will be amazed by the beach, which has white sand, fine and clean. The sandy beach stretches for 800 meters. You can spend your time playing with sand, beach, volleyball, football, and kite. The waves are also small and the bottom is not rocky. It is very comfortable and for showering and swimming. There are also water sports activities there, from snorkeling to banana boats. For those of you who want to relax in Pakumandeh Beach, there are rows of 3x3 meters wooden huts overseeing the sea. Several swings are also available for playing. Another attraction of Pakumandeh Beach is its sunset beauty, so don't miss the lovely sunset on the beach. Pakumandeh Beach is equipped with a parking area, toilets, and restaurants.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, Miscellany for Today has a topic, Rumah Atsiri launches scents of wonderful Indonesia fragrance with a typical Indonesian aroma. Listeners, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy collaborated with co-branding partner Rumah Atsiri Indonesia to launch Scents of Wonderful Indonesia, a fragrance with a distinctive Indonesian aroma. This collaboration is a multi-sensory marketing step that involves a combination of the five senses to touch the emotional side of humans. Deputy for Marketing at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nimade Ayu Martini, stated that Wonderful Indonesia is happy to collaborate with Rumah Atsiri because this is the right synergy to present to the world. The scent of Wonderful Indonesia prioritizes the olfactory sense, which also prioritizes the scent of smell in forming the identity of Wonderful Indonesia. Involving olfactory sensors also prioritizes the attractiveness of Indonesian wellness tourism. Founder of Rumah Atsiri Indonesia, Natasha Clairine said that the scent of Wonderful Indonesia is an essential oil that combines nutmeg, petkoli, lemongrass, and lime, typical Indonesian spices which have played a main role in traditional cooking and medicines, are presented in the form of fragrances. That create a unique Indonesian aroma. She also hopes that she can spread the scent of Wonderful Indonesia as an aroma that can remind the public, especially foreign and domestic guests or tourists, about Indonesia through its aroma. The scent of Wonderful Indonesia essential oil has a warm and spicy nutmeg aroma with a hint of sweetness to leave an earthy impression. There is also genuine Indonesian petkoli in it, which has a musky and earthy aroma with a sweet spice taste. Two compositions of lemongrass and lime give a fresh impression and are useful as aromatherapy, which can reduce stress. The new aromatic collection is expected to strengthen Indonesian character and identity through the sense of smell, which is the most sensitive of the five senses and is closely connected to a person's memories and emotions. That's Miscellany.
Sudah melewat masa air mata yang si
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Coming up next is a song from Naif. Naif is a band formed on October 22, 1995. There were initially 5 members, namely David in vocal, Emil in bass, keyboard and vocal, Jarwo in guitar and vocal, Pepeng in drum, percussion and vocal, and Chandra is keyboard, piano and synthesizer. But in 2003, Chandra quit it. In 1998, they released their first album entitled Naif. There are some top hits in the album, such as Picnic 72 or Picnic in 1972. The song depicts how teenagers are dating in the early 1970s, which is inspired by parents' old pictures. But the melody is inspired by an Indonesian legendary band, Kus Plus. This album ranked 22nd in Rolling Stone Indonesia's magazine 150 Best Everlasting Album in Indonesia. Well, here is Picnic 72 by Naif.
Of Indonesia.
Good.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jikalau telah datang waktu yang dinanti, ku pasti bahagiakan dirimu seorang. Ku harap di kau sabar
listener. It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.